Nachyomi for the Orthodox Union. Sefer Tehillim, the Book of Psalms. Perek Kuf He. It's chapter 105. This is read by Binny Marilis. Chapter 105 begins with a set of verses that are most familiar to us by virtue of the fact that they appear in our daily davening in Shacharis, right after Baruch She'amar. The first 15 verses that appear here are almost exactly as the ones that appear in our davening. But in fact, the ones that appear in the davening are from Divrei Hayamim. Chapter 16 in Divrei Hayamim is in fact that text of the liturgy. It's most similar. The Radak points out in his introductory comment to this chapter, Zeh ha-mizmer chibro David kishehe ela ha-aron mi-beis oved Edom ha-giti. This mizmer, he says, is time-connected. That's to say that we've discussed before in other commentaries and other chapters in the Sefer Tehillim discuss when exactly is it that King David is writing these chapters. Is he writing them as he's experiencing these moments in his life, that these add details and enrich those events? Or is he writing them later on in a retrospect? Or is he simply writing them unconnected to any particular event, but rather for some sort of deeper, separated meaning? Says the Radak that this mizmor, in fact, is written in relation to when King David famously takes the Ark of the Covenant, the Aron HaBris, from the house of Oved Edom HaGiti. And he brings it up to Ir David, and he gives it over the Mizmor, La Asaf, L'Achiv, L'Shawir, Oso, Lifnei HaAron, to write it down in front of the Aron, as it says in Divrei Hayamim. V'Sham, says the Radak, there in Divrei Hayamim, Kosuv Zeha Mizmor, this mizmor is written ad uvinviyai al tareyu through verse 16. Ela sheyesh b'neim shinu mi'at b'milo shonos, but there are some differences in words between here and there. V'ha'inyon echot, but the matter itself is one. U'kishechiber David zeh sefer tehillim, when David wrote sefer tehillim, kasav bo zeh mizmor, he wrote down this mizmor. And he lengthened it, Besipur Zera Avraham, with the story of the children, the seed of Avraham, Ad Shenich Nisula Eretz Israel. So the story of Avraham through the entry into the land of Israel. Okay. So basically, what you have is the idea that this is somehow related to the Aron, and this is somehow related to the events of the bringing up of the Aron to Ir David, and that exalted moment. When one learns that text in Shmuel, in Sefer Shmuel, the Book of Samuel, it's an amazing text about how David HaMelech behaves, the joy and the simcha that's involved in that coming, and this mizmor is related to that. Malbim is slightly differentiated in his introductory comments, and he says as follows, after the author has praised Hashem and blessed Hashem in the manner in which he behaves with people, and how he handles the human beings, particularly how he deals with healing the soul, and then al hanhaga sa'olam bichlal kfi hateva sheyosad b'sheisus simei hamasa, and then in 104, where he described and discussed how Hashem prevails and has dominion over the physical world that was established in nature in the 6 days of creation. So now, after that, Bala teis hoda'a al hanhaga shniya hanisis. He comes to give thanks to Hashem in the manner of the providence, in the manner of a rulership that is miraculous in nature. How he handles and he behaves with his relationship to his close nation, the Jewish people. And therefore, what we're going to see in the beginning of the text are these statements of almost exalted commandment vis-a-vis the people and how they should behave and what they should do and why. And then we'd go through the story of the Jewish people and their history, and understanding that the nature of the relationship and the closeness and the kirva and the connection is the most crucial element. And isn't that what the Aron is about? Isn't that what the Ark represents and the Luchos represent? Is it the relationship, the connection, the partnership in the world between Hashem and the Jewish people, that we're His chosen people and He is our chosen God? And that is what it's all about. And we understand the covenant, we understand the root of it, we understand the source of it, at starting with Avraham, and that we are virtuous and meritorious and worthy by virtue of being His seed and being his generations. And so the rest of the Mizmor, really through to the end, even in describing just the events of Mitzrayim and the leaving and the getting into Mitzrayim and the getting out of Mitzrayim, it's all about that relationship and how that happened, how that played out, and God's hand in those events. So let's begin. It's a slightly long Mizmor, but we'll do our best to get through. We may not get to all the explanations as we always like to. We'll do as best as we can. The Mizmor begins, Hodu l'Adonai ke'u b'shmo, Hodiu ba'amim oli losav. Give thanks to Hashem, call upon His name, ke'u b'shmo, Hodiu ba'amim oli losav. Right? Make His name and His doings known amongst the people. Shiru lo, zamru lo, sichu b'chol niflosav. Sing to Him, right? Sing further praises to Him, speak of all of His great, marvelous, wondrous works. His halalu b'shem kadsho, bring glory and praises and song b'shem kadsho and to His holy name. Yismach lev mevakeshei Adonai, the heart of those who seek out the Hashem, who seek to know Hashem and to connect to Hashem, that heart will rejoice. On that verse says the Malbim, a most beautiful, beautiful statement. He says as follows. I apologize, it's on the next verse. So let's read that one. Dishu Adonai v'uzo, bakshu panav tamid. Seek out the Lord, seek out Hashem and His strength, seek His face, right? Reach out for His face continually at all times. It says the Malbim as follows. Sha'ikar hu hadirisha lo hamitzia. The essential is the search or the quest and not the finding. Ki ein mi sheyasig atzmo so. Because it's not possible that anybody would actually reach the essence. Raktsorich lijosh ma'asa. The person really simply has to seek out and go after the actions, mitzad ze, and on that side, bakshu panav tamid, acharesha hatachlis hu sheyidrishu, vivakshu also, after it's known that the purpose is really going out after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and seeking Him out, v'hu davar she'ein lo sof, there is no end to it, ki hanidrash hu bilti ba'al tachlis, because the one who is being sought out is endless, no full completion. Im kain, ha'hasag hi gam kain kach. The reaching of that is also about tachlis, is no end. And therefore, tivak shu pan of tamid should always be that you're seeking it out. Ki kol shes tasigu mimenu, tasigu shelo hasagtem. Because the more you find out, you don't know much. V'tzarich drisha yoser, and it's a continuous process. Sheyochu mechayel ochayel, strength to strength. It's always on that manner. It's always in that manifestation. It's always in the going forward. It's always in seeking out more. You realize a little bit, you realize how little you know. You find out a little bit more, you realize how much more there is to know. That is the nature of the relationship, a love relationship that is ever growing and ever deepening, has continually peeling away further layers and nuances and understandings of the beauty of the relationship and the partner in that relationship. There's no end to that. Zichru niflo osav asher asah Mosav Mishpatei Piv, remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Zichru Nifla Osav, says the Radak, Zichru Balev Nifla Osav, remember in your heart all of his wondrous doings, Umosav, and all of his wonders, right? All of his wonders. She'asali Yisrael b'Mitzrayim u'b'Midbar mishenichnasu la'aretz, all the wonders that God had done for us in Egypt, in the desert, and when they came into the land. V'chein b'dvar ha'aron b'eretz plishtim, and so it was the case with the Aron, when it was in the hands of the plishtim. Ki al neis echad v'al pele echad chayev adam lizkur ha'mosim ha'kodmin. And everything that it is, everyone has to remember, all of the previous ones. For each new one, one has to remember all of the older ones that have happened before. Zehu shene'emar, and that's what it says in Perek Chuf Yud Aleph 111, Zecher osa l'niflosav. You have to establish remembrances for all of the wonders that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. And if we keep going, we'll see now it begins at the beginning with Avram. Zera Avram Avdo b'nei Yaakov b'chirav. The seed of Avram is his servant, the children of Yaakov, his chosen ones. B'chirav. In Divrei HaYamim, this is one of those differences in language. Here, there it says, Zera Yisrael Avdo, and then B'nei Yaakov b'chirav. Here it says, Zera Avraham Avdo. It's the same idea, essentially, as to the source of our relationship being at Avraham. Hu Adonai Eloheinu b'chol ha'aretz mishpatav. He is our God. He is the Lord. He is our God. Elokeinu, that's crucial. B'chol ha'aretz mishpatav, all of his land, all of the earth is judged by him. The key being, he is our Hashem. That's the kesher, the point of relationship. That is, he is always for good. He is always with us. The Radak brings a beautiful statement from the Medrash. He says like this on Hu Hashem Elokeinu in verse 7, Afa Pisha Bechol Ha'aretz Mishpatav, even though all of his land, all the land is the land where he judges, Vu Hamanhig Ha'olam Kulo, and he is the leader and the master of the entire world, Hu Eloheinu V'anachnu Amo. He is our Lord, and we are his nation. So says the Medrash, Mahu Elokeinu. What does it mean, Elokeinu? Ela ata motzei hu chamisha l'ra'ah v'chamisha l'tovah. We find in Tanakh that the word hu relates five times negatively and five times positively. L'ra'ah, when is it negatively? Hu hayah gibor tzayid. He was, the word hu, right, that word is used that he was a strong hunter. That's relating to Nimrod. Hu Esav Avi Edom. And then talking about Esav, right? He was Esav, the father of Edom. Hu Dasan V'Aviram. It was them that were Dasan and Aviram. Hu HaMelech Ochaz. He was the king, Melech Ochaz. Hu Achash Verosh. And he was Achash Verosh. V'chamisha Letova. And then five times for good. Hu Avraham. Hu Aharon Moshe. Hu Ezra Olam Yibavel. Hu Chizkia. So same as Motzei. Motzei mimegichon. Amar Rabbi Rachia, v'Elohim nimna im hatzadikim, ki hu Hashem Elokeinu. And God is judged and counted amongst the tzadikim, because he is our God. The text continues, and something now rattles off the history, dealing with some of the further relationship as it goes along. Let's begin to move a little bit quicker. Zachar l'ulam b'so davatze aval avdor, he remembers forever. To the world, the covenant with us, Tavatzi V'Alador, it's commanded to all of the thousand generations for all time's sake, that relationship will always be. What is that relationship? Asher Karasis Avraham Shvosol Yitzchak, that he established covenantally with Avraham, and then swore upon to Yitzchak, V'yamidel Yaakov L'chok L'Yisrael B'Yisolam, and then he established it with Jacob as a statute, with Israel, as it's sort of going up the ladder from Yaakov to Yisrael, to Israel, as an everlasting covenant. What we said previously is that when it says Yaakov, sometimes it means Galus, it says Yisrael, it means Geula, and here it can be viewed that way as well. Yaakov, it's the start, it's going down to Mitzrayim, it's established one way, and then higher when it's established with Yisrael. Lemor, what was part of that, right? Key part of the covenant, the bris bein Besarim, the bris Avraham, lecha etein es eretz kinan, chevel nachal eschem. The land itself will be the locale, and the point, the manifestation for your activities and fulfillment of your destiny as the Jewish people, and it's the lot of your inheritance. Chevel nachal eschem. It has to be there, it's part of it, and part and parcel and crucial to what the Jewish people are about, is in the land. Bihosam, the same as Pyre, in verse 12, when you were few in number, kime'at v'garim ba, you were very few, and you sojourn in it, and then what happens? So you started out there, but you were there for a short period of time, yisachu migoy agoy, and you went from one nation to another nation, mimam lachay alam acher, from one kingdom to another people, lo hiniach adam le'oshkam, right? He didn't allow anyone to cause you wrong. Vayochach aleihem elachim, and he rebuked all the kings. Al tigu b'mishichai, v'linivai al tarayu. Don't touch. Do not touch my anointed ones, and to my prophets, do not do any harm. Right? We know that he spoke to either spoke to or punished Avimelech and Paro and Lavan. Right, and all of the different people at the outset of the story that they should not do anything to the Jewish people. They were not allowed to do anything, and that is the nature of it. That's the connection of it. That's where you have the sense of the care and the watchfulness and the watchful eye of God upon us, not allowing the other nations to do anything, even as we were very small in number. And now David HaMelech in verse 16. Deals with some of the history of us in the land of Egypt, going out then into the Midbar and then into Eretz Yisrael. V'yikarav al ha'aretz kol matay lechem sovar. Right, so that we called out that it was a famine upon the land, and it was a broken staff for bread. People were clamoring for bread. And what does he do? In verse 17, shalach lefnehem ish, a man was sent out before them. Who was that man? Le'evin nimkar Yosef. Yosef was sold as a servant. All this is part of the covenant. This is part of the bris. This is part of the relationship. Hashem has it all planned out. Inu b'kevel raglo, barzel ba'anafsho. His feet were hurt with ropes, right? And his person, his soul, was laid in irons. And that can be a literal term, that he was tied up. Or it can be sort of euphemistically tied into what it was that happened to him, and how it is that he ended up in tatters and in prison. Ad es bo divaro, imras adonai tzerafasu, until the time came that his word was passed down to him, that the word of Hashem, literally, was there to test him. Yosef was tested, but then he was brought out. He was sent into prison by virtue of a test. In prison, Yosef realizes some sort of a sense of destiny in the Poter Chalomos, when he's interpreting dreams, and his relationship with the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOfim, with the butler and the baker. That's where he gets tested, that's where he gets purified in a sense, and that's where he gets established and set to go out. Shalach Melech Vayatireyu, the king sends and loosens him. Moshel Amen Vayiftacheyu, and the ruler of the people sets him free. That's Paro in the story. This is verse 20, now moving into 21. Samo Adon Leveso. Now this is sort of going up in stages, the different things that Yosef is given dominion over. He makes him a master of the house. Umoshel Bechol Kinyano, and ruler of all his possessions. Le'esor Sarav Benafsho, Uzekinav Yichakem. In 22, he binds his princes at his own pleasure. He's completely in control, nobody above him except for Paro. Uzekinav Yichakem, and he teaches the elders wisdom. He is smarter than them, and he imparts wisdom on them. Vayavo Yisrael Mitzrayim, V'Yakov Gar Be'eretzcham. Yisrael comes to Mitzrayim. They're suffering, they have no food, and they come down to Mitzrayim. V'Yakov Gar Be'eretzcham, and then Yaakov and his children settle in the land of Cham, we called Goshen, but this perhaps is going even later on. 24, Vayefer es amo ma'od, Hashem then makes the Jewish people quite large. Vayefer is peru urvu. You see the language of per, a peresh, of pri. They become increased greatly. Vayatzi mehu mitzarav. And they make them much larger
than their enemies, their adversaries. 25, Hafach libam lisno amo, then it all turns. The heart of the Egyptian is turned against the Jewish people. Hava nischak malo, parshas shmos, let us be smarter than them, let's be smart about them. Lehis nakel ba'avadov, to deal very craftily and carefully with the avadim, with the servants. And then what happens? So that happens, right? The Egyptians turn bad against the Jewish people. Oh, 26, Shalach Moshe Avdo, Moshe his servant was sent. Aharon, Asher Bachabo, Aharon, who's of the same pedigree, who was chosen, they are sent down. They are sent down to do the work and to free the Jewish people. Samu Bam, Divrei Ososav, God gives them the power of his signs, umofsim be'eretz Cham, and his wonders in the land of Cham, the stuff he shows to the Jewish people, the stuff he shows to Paro initially, osos umofsim. And in verse 28, we begin to see a description of the Makos. We don't get all of the Makos. This is not a history book. We don't get every detail of the Makos. Again, it's not a history book. David HaMelech poetically and beautifully is describing the significance of certain of the Makos and their impact, and trying to elicit and create a picture for us about what is going on in Mitzrayim. And he starts, interestingly enough, with the ninth of the Makos. Shalach choshech vayachshich. He sends darkness, and it was dark. V'lo maru estivaro. And they did not rebel against his word. The Malbim points out, and for the sake of time, we cannot get into every single one of the Makos. But the Malbim points out that the way the Makos break down is sort of into three sets of three, and then Bechoros. So that when you have the ninth as a story, Choshech, so he says as follows, Hachoshech Yamaka Acharona, Choshech is the last one, V'siyum HaShlosha Sedarim, and it's the end of the sets of three. He says, I already explained in the Torah, Shebao Hamakos B'Shlosha Sedarim, that the Makos came in three groups. Tzitzach, Adash, Be'achav, we know them as the Siman and Rabbi Yehuda, but that's the way they worked. L'horos al shlosha inyonim, to teach three different things. U'basov kol seder, at the end of each of the groups of three, bo'amaka achas b'lo hasra b'atchila, came a maka, right, a plague, then that did not have a warning before it. Shehem kinim shchin choshech. They were the ends of the different groupings, and they were purely for punishment's sake. And that was the last one. No longer was Paro's heart hardened, and he lets them go. So therefore, he lists them out in this way, and he starts with Choshech. Hafach esmei mehem ladam, and then in verse 29, he goes back to the beginning. Right? He turned their waters into blood. Bayames estigasam, and slew their fish. Verse 30, Sharatz artsam tzvardiim, the land was swarmed with frogs, bechadri machayim, and the frogs were in the chambers of the kings. Amar vayavo arov, he spoke and came. Came the swarms, kinin bechol gvulam, and then you have the gnats or the lice in all of the borders. Nasan gishmehem barad, then their waters, literally their waters became, or their rains became hail, and there were flaming fires in the land. We know that the punishment of Barad was sort of hail, was hail that had a fiery core in it. Vayach gafnam usein asam, vishaber eitz kulam, the Barad destroyed their vines and their trees, right, and destroyed all of their borders, everything that was surrounding. Amar vayavo arbe, then came the locusts, vayalek ve'ein mispar, and the canker worms, a certain type of the locust. So the arbe ate most of the things that were growing above ground, and the yalek is a worm, ate the stuff that was in the ground. Vayochal kol esev ve'artzam, in 35, they ate all of the grasses of the land. Vayochal priyad masam, as I just explained, and they ate all of the fruit of the ground. Vayach kol bechor be'artzam. Now you have Makas Bechoros in verse 36. all of the eldest in the land were killed. Reshis lechon onam, all the first fruits of all the strength, meaning that what you have is the eldest son of every situation. No eldest child, short of Paro himself, escapes the destruction of Makas Bechoros. Vayotzeim now in 37, in keeping, fulfilling the promise of that he was made to Avraham. Vayotzeim bekesef v'zahav, the Jewish people come out wealthy. Ve'ein b'shvatav koshel, nobody stumbled, nobody came out poor. Everybody benefited, and everybody garnered some wealth at the hands of the Mitzrim. Right, vayash ilum, they asked for everything, and the Mitzrim happily gave it to them. Samach in 38, fascinating. Samach Mitzrayim b'tzeisam ki nafal pachtam aleihem. The Egyptians were very happy to see the Jewish people go because they were afraid of them. They had suffered so mightily at the hand of the Jewish people for such a period of time. So many of the Makos, so much suffering, so much death and destruction in their land. The Maisa, they were happy to see. They were happy to see them go. Let them take everything. We don't care. Nobody made a sound. No one made a peep. Parash Anan the Masach, now that they've left, so now they're in the Midbar. So he spreads a cloud for them as a screen. Ve'eish la'ir la'ilah, and a fire, as we know, that at night, right, they had a fire that led them. In the day it was the Anan, at night it was the fire. Everything is taken care of. Sha'al v'yave slad, they asked for it, and they got quail. V'lechem shamayim yasbeim, and the bread of heavens, right, was plentiful, and it satisfied them. The man. Pasach tzur v'yazuvu mayim, they opened up a rack, and water flowed from it. Water gushed out. Halchu b'tzios anahar, they ran, and there was a river when they needed it. Everything that they needed happened when they needed it. It all played out. It was all a certain destiny. It was all part of the relationship with God. Ki zacharis tvar kodesho. Why? Why was this? Why did all this happen? Because Hashem remembered the words, his holy words, as Avraham Avdo. He remembered Avraham, his servant. It was all based on that. All based on the covenantal relationship established with Avraham Avinu, our forefather, our ancestor, the Av HaAvos, the first of the fathers. Vayotzi amo b'sason, and Hashem brought out the people with joy. Berina es b'chirav, the chosen ones were singing. Vayitain lahem arzos goyim. It wasn't just taking them down to Mitzrayim. It wasn't just protecting them in Mitzrayim. It wasn't just punishing the Mitzrayim. It wasn't just coming out of Mitzrayim. He skips over Matan Torah. We'll get to that maybe perhaps a different day. But it's also culminating in the return to the land as the full-on nation of the Jewish people in 44. Vayitin lahem artos goyim. He gives them the land of a goyim. Va'amal le'umim yirashu. And the labor of the peoples that were there, they inherit. Ba'avur yishmu chuka v'sarasav yinsoru. They should keep the laws, observe the laws, observe the statutes. Hallelujah. And it ends with a statement of hallelujah. That with all that was going on, and all that it is, it should not be lost sight of that the ultimate goal is the full-on fulfillment of Torah and mitzvos in the proper place, in the proper way. In Eretz Yisrael, for Am Yisrael, with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, with the built Beis HaMikdash, the full ability to accomplish and to achieve and to observe the faith and religion of God in the right way, in its right place. And all this is part of the progression, it's part of the relationship, it's part of the build towards the greatest goal, which is the fulfillment of the destiny of the Jewish people. We'll continue tomorrow with Mizmor Kuf Vav 106.